Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday the 15th of August, recording at 9:48 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets in Asia, mostly a little bit lower. China didn't do so well, same old story there. But the Hang Seng, which had been performing quite well, pulled back over 1% here today. Most of the other moves were relatively minor, and we had Malaysia edge up to another new all-time high. The ASEAN sector remains very strong. It's firm within ranges, not racing ahead. But nothing is racing ahead here in this environment, or racing down, fortunately. Now, the European stock markets, which have had such a good run in recent weeks, a little bit mixed in here today. Encouraging signs, both Spain and, well, particularly Italy, up a little bit, but to less than 1%. Small declines elsewhere, so it's quiet. Quiet, very quiet day. Quiet day also in the Americas. We've got the U.S. indices steady. The S&P up a point and a half to 1405.5. NASDAQ doing a little bit better than that. Long-dated government bond prices, we had a bit more action here. We've got another hit to the downside here. The U.S. 30-year long bond down 1.5 points to 146. And they're all weak. It's the commonality that is such a convincing factor here right now. More on that in a moment. And in currencies, well, we've got the dollar. Looks like the dollar's a little bit steadier in here. Now, the euro is soft, down to 122.87. The yen is a little bit easier. The dollar's up to 178.89. The Aussie, steady, around 105. Sterling, steady. Sort of 156.83. It's quiet here in the currency markets mostly. Precious metals had a sell-off and then a rebound. And some of the volatility has been, well, it's all within ranges. But when I talk about volatility, I'm just using the wrong word. It's, well, maybe not. It's the speed of these moves. Moves that used to take several hours are taking place in a matter of minutes. I think I mentioned yesterday I popped into the kitchen, got something out of the fridge, and came straight back to my desk, and gold had fallen $20. needless to say, I haven't eaten a thing today. Now, elsewhere, grains and beans. Soybeans very firm in here today. Corn, this is soybeans back up to 116.34. Corn up to 804. Wheat also higher. The industrial metals were all a bit weaker. Crude, last but not least, plenty going on here. I mean, my goodness, the Brent crude is up to 116.5, and the WTI is up to 94.36. It's up $2.5 for that Brent to 116. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the story, as I sort of touched on yesterday in an earlier audio, is that there's clearly been some hedge fund and other hedge buying here in the oil market, and that's turned it into a bit of a momentum move. Now, the catalyst for that, or at least certainly the main catalyst, is that there's been a lot of activity on Israeli websites and articles, and Owen posted one today with people talking really quite openly about an attack coming from Israel on the Iranian nuclear installations, and saying that it's going to be sooner rather than later, meaning possibly before the US presidential election. Now, I've been a naysayer on this. I thought, well, no, this isn't going to really happen. It doesn't make sense. They're not going to do something without the United States. They prefer not to have to do anything whatsoever, because even a successful attack, and there's no guarantee that it would be successful, would be almost certainly a Pyrrhic victory, partly in treasure and blood. And then the longer term consequences, well, who knows? But it would certainly be controversial, and it would increase tensions and increase risks. So that's kind of reflected here in the markets. And I've also said that unless they're wanting to be counterintuitive about it, if you're going to go in and attack, it doesn't make sense to keep threatening to do so, as they have been doing in recent months. I'm sometimes in work out something like this, I try to put myself in the shoes of the people who are in charge of the situation. That would be Prime Minister Netanyahu, and it's a pure conjecture on my part, but he might not be too disappointed to see that U.S. gasoline price pushing higher, because as that approaches $4, and it's over 370 here right now, that would tend to create or a renewed problem for President Obama. So, in other words, it would favor Romney. Governor Romney. But I don't know. I probably shouldn't even mention that, but I'm stream of consciousness, these audios, just telling you what's on my mind and what I'm thinking about. But let's get down to the serious factor here in terms of the implications of this Brent price. I think that the world really hasn't quite taken it on board yet. But we've got crude oil, what, about $11 below the high that we had seen earlier in the year. And in s terms of some currencies, that's in US dollars, in euros, we're right up there on the highs. So this is bad news. Sharp rises in the oil price always cause economic problems. And where I've been looking for, and a lot of other people have been looking for, further easing coming from China, and also India, as their inflation pressures eased, and they have, particularly in China. But all of a sudden, China is going to start to factor in this oil price rise, and be they can only be concerned about this. So this is a tricky old environment we inhabit, and I repeat a refrain that we're still in the second decade of two consecutive, well, sorry, that's what it would be, wouldn't it? Second decade consecutively of a difficult time in terms of oil price supplies. But I'm convinced that this is due far more to hedging in the oil contract than it is to economic demand. And more importantly, this has got to, if this doesn't fall back soon, it will really force itself into people's further into people's consciousness, and it will cause problems, and there will be economic implications. Okay, stock markets. China is very soft, not far from its recent lows, and also after that sort of 5-day rally that it had, And it's just sort of at the top of the base that we had seen back in 2008 and early 2009. So it's a serial underperformer in here right now, and that has led to a flurry, an additional flurry of all those articles. Gosh, I must receive them two, three a day here, all China disaster stories. Now, just to put that in perspective, I think a lot of it is emotional. There's a certain element of wishful thinking, certain amount of fear there, and then some of them have got some seriously good points, but they tend to be a bit emotional. You know, when people talk about great sort of crashes and so on. Don't bet on the extremes is one of Fuller's adages. They're seldom realized. But China's been the greatest growth story in terms of speed that we have seen in human history. And China is inevitably going to get into trouble from time to time. But is it in trouble, serious trouble right now? I kind of doubt it. It has a difficult adjustment because of the weakness in Europe and the weakness in the US economy. So that's obviously caused problems for its export based economy. And it takes time to make that transition to from exports to more consumption, which they need to do, et cetera, et cetera. But Owen and I think that the property market is reasonably well controlled. I'll be very interested to hear of his experiences. Owen's going to China for about a week in the end of September, and he travels around enough, he and Mrs. Tracy, to find out quite a bit in terms of what's going on. So that will be interesting to see and hear what he has to say and assess that. But I will feel more relaxed when I see China break this medium-term downward trend, because it's a big influential stock market inevitably. It's not as big and influential as the US stock market, and that remains remarkably steady here, and we can thank accommodative monetary policies as a tailwind for that. And we know that a lot of these multinational companies, certainly the autonomies, the leading autonomies and the dividend aristocrats, have strong balance sheets. They're the antithesis of the US government's balance sheet, and they are in a strong financial position, stronger financial position than they've been in a very, very long time. So that's good news overall, and that's obviously a factor in the strength that we've actually seen. Now, bonds, so I don't make this audio too long. This turned into a bit of a rout here today. I reviewed them yesterday. I put those charts up, but it's really worth having a look at this. Some of these are now starting to move below their June lows overall, and there's been so much complacency in this market and sort of skin-deep bravado on the part of people who are along these things, but some are actually starting to bail. That's pretty apparent. And every this downward step that we get, and we certainly saw one today, increases the odds that we have had a very meaningful low in bond markets last month, and bond market yields, and in other words, peaks in the bond futures prices. So I think they're heading lower. They're coming off such a high level, the bond futures, and coming off such a low level, the yields, that I think actually it could be a tailwind for the stock market, and certainly the stock market is outperforming here right now. But at some point, and we're a long, long way from that point, yields will rise enough to create more serious competition for equities. But that's not, what's to say, we're nowhere near there. Now, precious metals, I have to confess, I'll heave a great sigh of relief when, and if and when, I think it's a when rather than an if. But I would say that, wouldn't I? Because I have long positions, and I'm not heavily long, but I have long positions in gold and silver and platinum, and it's been so easy to get whipsawed in this in this market. I think it's support building, but that case can't be proven until we see the establishment of a short-term overall upward trend. And so far, we're ranging, albeit ranging with a slight upward bias in both gold in particular, but also silver. And industrial metals still soft. That's in line with China. I think once China stock market improves, we'll probably get a heck of a rally in the industrial metals, but that's a little bit like waiting for Godot here, as I've mentioned before. Grains and beans, see, this is another inflation problem here, but it's not as serious, I feel, economically as the oil price. Obviously, it's a disaster for any of these farming communities that don't have very very good crop insurance, government insurance, and they do in the U.S. But what worries me the most is that we're going to have shortages, and that in the past has resulted in food riots from time to time, and of course it will increase food price inflation. So, pretty much a mixed picture, isn't it? And on that note, all the best to all of you.